In Acts, the 9th chapter, we have, of course, the account of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And Saul, having been trained at the feet of the premier teacher of the day in the Mosaic Law, Gamaliel, knew what the Scriptures had to say. Prior to his conversion, he had not made the proper application concerning the Messiah, that in fact the Messiah had come and that his name was Jesus, known as Jesus of Nazareth. After he was converted, he began immediately teaching in the synagogues and proving, as the King James Version says, the very Christ. And doing that, of course, by the prophecies that had gone on before, and that this Jesus of Nazareth was the very Christ. He was there and drew ire by the Jews that were in the synagogues where he was teaching in Damascus, knowing that he, in his past, had persecuted and put to death Christians. And at his teaching that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Messiah that had been prophesied to come, they wanted to kill him. He was let down a wall by night in a basket and escaped the city. And it says, then in Acts 9 chapter and verse 26, he essayed to join himself to the disciples that were at Jerusalem. Unfortunately, we are living in times right now where the economy makes it very hard for some to stay in this area where we are. And it requires at times for their financial benefit to move. And we've lost several members because of that. And that's unfortunate. But I want to talk about that move that you might have to make. And we have one member that's going to be moving in the next 6 months or so. And so I want to bring this lesson in connection with this, because even those because of these financial situations, because of the economy, we need to keep a focal point on our worship and service to God, even if we move from this particular area. And I want to present to you some things, of course, that are stated in Scripture in connection with your consideration about whenever you make that move. And for all of us that might have to move at some point in time. And I hope that that doesn't take place for any more. I wish that it wasn't taking place with the one that is going to be moving here shortly. But there are some things to consider from Scripture. First of all, the need to be joined to disciples. And we need to recognize that need. Paul recognized that need. That he went to Jerusalem and he sought out those of like mind. And he did that for a reason. He did that for a reason because there was an understanding that the local church is God's design. The congregation of the called out in a local area is by God's design. We look over in Acts 14, 21 through 23. And when they had preached, that is Paul and Barnabas, on the first preaching journey, when they had preached the gospel to that city and many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch and strengthened the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. We see the congregations that had been established in this first preaching journey and the completion of their organization in the appointment of the elders in each of those congregations. When we think about that, we have to come to an understanding that since that was ordained by God, and that you had congregations separate, apart, autonomous from one another, that there is a need, just as Paul recognized, Saul of Tarsus at this time, as he was known, but Paul recognized the need that we need to be in a congregation. And what is also unfortunate in areas that we live in, is fortunate in one way, unfortunate in another way, there are many congregations. I can't tell you how many times people have come and visited with us. It was prior to having elders. That they were looking for a larger congregation than this one here. And they would go on and go somewhere else. And I can understand it to some point whenever there are not elders in the congregation. By the way, this congregation does have elders, just to let you know, since we do have visitors. It is fortunate that there are congregations with elders, but also there are some other considerations to make. And the consideration to make is that with some people, there are those that consider themselves to be floating Christians. We all worship here one Sunday, over there another Sunday, and really never enjoin in the work. When we think about what is stated in connection with Paul back in Acts the 9th chapter, verse 26, he understood that he needed to be involved in the work. And work of local congregation where he was. And we need to understand that. We'll be looking at some passages of Scripture that point that out. We need to understand that because it is not only the congregation that is ordained by God's design, but also God's desire that each of us be a member of a local congregation wherewith we worship and work together in our service to God as children of God. We look at the purpose of a local congregation in connection with this. And we'll go back and take a look at this from the standpoint of what is stated in Ephesians 4 chapter, verse 11 through 16. And I know that the discussion that is being had here by Paul in his writing was about the miraculous gifts that were given, but yet even those miraculous gifts that were given, we are still to carry through with the teaching that comes from that in the proper application today, not from a miraculous standpoint, but from the standpoint that we have God's Word. And it says he gave some to be apostles, and we have those no more. We understand that there are qualifications of apostles that are presented to us when we look in Acts 1st chapter, verse 15, down through the end of the chapter. And no man today can fulfill the requirements of being an apostle because you would have to be 2,000 years old in order to do so. There were prophets. And this is delineated more than just one speaking forth, but rather one by inspiration that was speaking forth, and we understand that. Some evangelists, and not all evangelists were inspired, even in the first century, but there are evangelists, teachers of God's Word today, and that is our application in connection with that, and also some pastors and teachers, that would be the eldership, in which they direct the teaching of the flock and also give teaching to the flock. It is in this verse 11, as we have here, first of all, the purpose of the church is the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word. And we see these different offices, so to speak, that is given in connection with that. The preaching of the Word. Then Paul says this, it is for the equipping of the saints. We come down to the first part of verse 12. The preaching of the Word is to equip the saints as be prepared spiritually and fully by the Word of God. And that is to be done in a congregation. And in a congregation where there are saints and the preaching of God's Word, it is in preparation spiritually for any onslaught by Satan, but also in preparation for proper worship in spirit and truth before God. He says in the next part of verse 12, for the work of the ministry, attending to the service of God's plan of work. You think about that whenever Paul makes mention to the Ephesians in the second chapter in verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, speaking of Christians, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. There you have the purpose of being a child of God, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. We understand that God expects us to work. It's not for our salvation. It's out of our love and our honor toward God and the thanksgiving that we have toward God for the salvation of our souls. Not to earn salvation in any way, but rather we work because we love the Lord. Then he says in the last part, or in the next part of verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is spiritually building each other up. We have a class, as we had this morning in the auditorium. And I'll use that as an example in connection with it. Several comments were made during the class. And they were good comments. And all of that was in connection with spiritually building up the edifying of the body of Christ. And we do that. We do that so that we can look into the Scriptures. Acts 17 verse 11 was mentioned this morning, in which there is a searching of the Scriptures. We make application to that in connection then with, of course, our spiritual building up of one another. So the church is for that particular purpose. And then in verse 14, he says, so that we should no longer be children to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, not in ignorance of God's will. And where the truth is taught in a congregation where one is a member, if it is taught in the full aspect, the full realm of truth, which is not only the things that are positive, but is also the things that are negative, that goes along with the warnings that we have expressed for us in Scripture, well, then you have a congregation then that is not ignorant of what God would have them to do and is not ignorant of the wiles of the devil in connection with false doctrine. We see in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him. And that is understanding that growing in Christ by this proper attitude of love, where there is not only love in the congregation, but those that we teach also outside the congregation. We have love and care for all souls. We understand that. And that is seen in a congregation. That there is an aspect of unity that goes along with this. And then he says in the first part of verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That is a close jointed togetherness supplied by the varying talents of all. And we have varying talents of all in this congregation. And we come together in connection with that being joined and knit together. And think about that from the standpoint of which it is being presented, such as a body. Can you imagine not having ligaments or tendons in at any part of your joints? Would you be able to stand? No. Would you be able to pick up anything? No. Would you be able to work? No. But when we look at this from the standpoint of that aspect that Paul is speaking of here, joined and knit together, we understand that by every joint, that is every Christian, they supply then to the work that God's expected for us to do. And then he says in verse 16, also according to the effective working by which every part does its share, each one doing their part. I always think back to Isaiah the 6th chapter and verse 8 in connection with the vision that Isaiah saw. And there were those that were standing around the throne and listening to the God on high. And he says, whom shall we send and who shall go forth to teach this word? And remember the reply that Isaiah gave. Here am I, send me. And when you think about that in connection with this part in verse 16 that we're talking about, each one doing their part. It's not somebody else's responsibility, it's our responsibility. And we take upon that responsibility then and enjoin in the work of a local congregation in order for these things to take place that Paul mentions here in Ephesians. Also, he says, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, perpetuating the very purpose of a congregation of God's people. So that there is learning, there is more spirituality, there is more work that takes place, and all are doing their part. When you look at this, you have the purpose of a local congregation that is given here by Paul in Ephesians 4, chapter verse 11 through 16. That takes away that thought that some have, I'll just be a roving member. I don't want to take part. I want to just hide. No, we are to be enjoined in the work together. Has been given us by God to do. We think then as we leave a congregation where we have been attending and possibly move to another about how to choose a congregation to work with. How do we do that? Now, let's use Scripture in connection with this. First of all, where to worship. Look for congregations with elders or are in the process of appointing them or are open to the idea of appointing them. When you look back in Titus 1st chapter and verse 5, for this reason Paul says to Titus, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Amos the 6th chapter and verse 1, I want to tie this in with this particular thought. Amos gives a warning to the Jews and he uses the term Zion, but he uses it this way, woe to you who are at ease in Zion. Unfortunately, there are congregations that are satisfied with just keeping house. Staying as we are. We don't really want growth. We've had a bad experience whenever people have come in. And because of that, we really don't want growth. We have those that we know here and we're comfortable with the situation. We're really not interested in growing. We're interested in just keeping house. And that is not the attitude, of course, that was expressed by Paul when we looked in Ephesians 4, chapter 11 through 16. We're not just to keep house. We're not to play church. But we are to be busy about God's work and doing His will and spreading the gospel to those not only among us for our edification, but also to those that are in the world. The teaching of the gospel is because we have concern for their souls. When we look at this, we understand that there's something lacking when there's not an eldership. And there should be plans in every congregation for there to be an eldership, because that is God's design of the organization of a local congregation. And without it, something's lacking. And that's exactly what Paul says here in this particular passage of Scripture to Titus. So we look for that. We look for that because there is leadership that is there. We look for that because there's stability that is there. And if it is the way that it is supposed to be, there is an attitude of growth and desire to do the work of the Lord in those congregations. We also need to listen to the teaching when we go into a congregation that we might be considering placing our membership at. Over in 2 John, the first chapter, in verse 9, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and of the Son. There are congregations that have on the outside of the building Church of Christ that their teaching is almost devoid of any Scripture. They're not preaching the gospel. You remember what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 chapter, beginning in verse 2. He said, preach the word. And there are those that will preach things that people love to hear. And he'll talk about that in just a moment here in this particular passage, 2 Timothy 4. But he says, preach the word. He says, be instant in season, out of season. When people want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it, you preach the word. Either way. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You cover all aspects of the spiritual needs within a congregation by the preaching of the word in what is needed. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having the ability to tickle ears. And they'll be turned away from the truth unto fables. And that has happened today, even in congregations, church buildings that have Church of Christ on the outside. They turn away from the truth because the truth is not being taught. And so when you go to a congregation, listen to what is being taught. Don't take it for granted just because you see Church of Christ on the outside that you are in or among a group of God's children. But listen to what is taught. Not only that, we see in Ephesians 5, verse 6 through 10, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You walk into a congregation and you hear such words in their studies. Well, I think this and I think that, without backing it up with Scripture. And it could be a sign. It could be a sign that there's something here that might be awry. You think about the empty words that are taught by many, where there is just that aspect of preaching the gospel only from the positive side. Love is mentioned, is very heavy in connection with that, but not the true love that we have from God's word. You remember in Matthew, the 19th chapter, whenever there was the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And this is actually, it's Luke's account that I like the best in connection with that. And he says, well, you keep the law. You tithe, you do all these different things. And he replied then to Jesus, well, I've done that from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said, if you will be complete. And there in Luke's account it says, and Jesus said to him, loving him, if you will be complete, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. Let me tell you what Jesus did in asking him to give up all of his earthly possessions was from the standpoint of love. And there are preachers and congregations that don't want to hear having to give anything up. I want the Lord to accept me just the way that I am. And the love aspect is what I want to give to the Lord in my way. But I don't want to have to give anything up. And I don't want to be different in this world I don't want people to look at me and say there's something different about me. And you'll see and hear teaching such as that. Be cautious with that. Be cautious and really get delved down into asking questions in connection with that sort of preaching and teaching. We see, consider their devotions. I think back to Acts 17, chapter verse 23. Paul is in Athens, the seat of idolatry of the world at that time. He says, "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" I will tell you that, at least in the majority of congregations that I've ever been in, you can tell a lot about them and their spirituality based upon what is found in the foyer, what is posted in the foyer. Is it works of men that are not approved of God that they post in the foyer? Is it teaching that is devoid of spiritual truth? Is it an allegiance to a certain individual rather than Christ Jesus? And you'll see things, and I have witnessed this before in congregations that I've visited, where the focus is not upon Christ and the Word and doing His will, but rather upon things of this earth. It is a social gospel where their focus is. And so we need to look at it, because those are devotions. Think back to what Jeremiah says in the 7th chapter, verse 4. "Do not trust in these lying words, saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.'" And as Jeremiah is speaking here, he's talking to a people that have lost their allegiance to God and looked at what they were based upon a physical structure being round about them and did not have the true faith in God that they were to have. And they would say, "The temple of the Lord, that's what makes me who I am. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." No. No. It was the God of heaven that made them who they were, if they would follow His truth. We look over in Matthew 7, verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, did we not teach in your name and through your name throw out demons and through your name do many wonderful works?'" And if you see these wonderful works that are without authority, steer away from that congregation. Ask questions, but steer away from that congregation, because I would tell you that with what I've experienced and the feedback also I've got from others, is that if you ask questions, they don't want to answer concerning their work that is not approved by God. And so look at the devotion. Look at what is in the foyer and see what is there. It's an indication for you whenever you go into a congregation of where they really stand in connection with the truth. We also see, consider their spirituality. When we look over 1 Corinthians 14, chapter verses 26 through 32, Paul says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." And there are congregations that follow strict, absolute, traditional rules that must be adhered to, or they are incensed by their members that do not do that. Beverly and I were at a congregation where we had been asked to come and work with them, and we did. And it was actually the second month that we were there, we signed up to make the preparations for the Lord's Supper. And Beverly and I did that, and she put it all together, and I carried it out to the front, and I put the bread on the table that was out there. This was before COVID, and they didn't have the individual containers as we have now. Put the bread on the table over on the left-hand side, as you would look from the audience, it was on the left-hand side. And I put the fruit of the vine over on the right-hand side, as you would look at it from the audience. And I saw during the class period that there were some of the members, especially two ladies, that were looking at that situation. They kept looking over to that table where the Lord's Supper was. And they came to me after the class period, and we had a 15-minute intermission as we do here. And they said, "What do you think you're doing setting up the Lord's table that way? Don't you realize that as we look up there, it should be that the bread is on the left and the fruit of the vine is on the right? Don't you understand that you're not following what is right?" And I thanked them for pointing that out to me, and I changed it before worship service began. And then after worship service began, I asked those two ladies, could we sit down and talk about this? And we did. And thankfully, they were of open mind, where they understood then what they were following was tradition of that congregation. It really had nothing to do with worshiping in spirit and in truth, on which side of the table the bread of the fruit of vine was placed. And they came around to that understanding. I was glad that that took place. But there are traditions that congregations will hold to where it goes beyond things that are done decently in order. The decorum is the main thing within a congregation, and it should not be that way. Decorum in a congregation should be considered, because that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. But it is not the overriding factor as far as creating a tradition. So look for that in a congregation that you go to also, where the true focus is on their spirituality. Consider their allegiance. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 12 and 13. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm a Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? And as we look at the context of what Paul is presenting here, he's not saying that one was right and the others are wrong. He's saying all were wrong in connection with the statement that they were making. I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm a Cephas, I have Christ. Because their allegiance was not really to Christ. Their allegiance was to a group, a camp of men, a party. Because he had spoken earlier here in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 10, said, let there be no divisions among you. Be of the same mind. And so when you go into a congregation, consider their allegiance and look again at the foliar and see what they are posting, because it will come clear to you. If that is the case, if they are followers of camps of men rather than followers of Christ Jesus. And then consider your ability to help. Acts 11, 22 through 24. The news of these things came to the ears of the church at Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. That congregation, there was a congregation or a group of brethren that were there. And they were evidently working for the Lord. And the news came to Jerusalem concerning that. And Jerusalem said, go down, Barnabas, you go down and help them. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Consider your ability to help. I will tell you that there is a congregation in a town west of us, some 100 miles away, where a member of the Lord's body moved there. And there was not a sound congregation in that town whatsoever. And he went in and talked with the leadership of that congregation. He says, I think by looking at what is taking place here, I think we have some differences of understanding of what God wants. And through a series of study, which they agreed to, which is rather rare these days, through a series of studies that they agreed to, they said, you're right, we've not been doing the Lord's will. And that congregation repented to a man in that congregation, to a woman in that congregation. And they are worshiping and serving God in spirit and in truth now. Consider your ability to help in connection with that. There's a time whenever there is a rejection, if that takes place, by you stating your concern over what a congregation is involved in, there's a time where you need to walk away. But also there is a possibility in you following the truth and expressing the truth and giving God's will upon matters that congregations are involved in today, that is the support of human institutions, support of sponsoring churches, and musical instruments coming in, many different things that are taking place these days. If they will listen to the truth, if they will study with you, that you can help. See if you are able to help in that situation and consider your proximity to them. And there's a reason for that. When we look over Luke 14, 17 through the first part of verse 18, and sent his servants at supper time, saying to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready, but they will with one accord begin to make excuses. You remember that parable? Unfortunately, there are some moves that are made which we don't have a choice. A company moves us to an area where there's not a congregation that's close by. But if we have a choice, choose a congregation within your proximity, because there you're going to have the best influence in the community that you're in and in the work with the congregation. But not only that, Satan uses our proximity to the local congregation to allow some to make excuse for not working with the church, not doing the work for the Lord. Well, it's a long ways. It's a long ways. And I don't feel good. I've got a headache, so I'm not going to go. It's a long drive. And so all we do is set ourselves up to make excuses if we're not worshiping in a congregation that is close by where we live. That is where what we should do is choose a congregation that is close by and not give Satan the opening to help us make excuses for not doing the Lord's work. Ask questions if you see or hear something that is not in alignment with the gospel. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures and received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Think about that from John, the third chapter, verses 19 through 21. And there Jesus talks about our attitude, what should be our attitude, in scrutiny of the way that we live and the way that we teach. Christians welcome scrutiny. They welcome scrutiny. That when asked, why do you do these things, we give book, chapter, and verse in accordance with God's will. We don't say, well, we've always done that. No. We do just as our Lord did over and over again. It is written. It is written. And we give God's word in connection with that. And if we don't want that, and if congregations don't want that, and individuals of the congregation don't want the scrutiny, do not join yourself with them. Because those, as is stated there by the Lord in John the third chapter, verse 19 through 21, those that are of God come to the light so that everything that they do is exposed and seen. They love scrutiny. They want scrutiny. They welcome scrutiny because their desire is to serve God and to do His will. But do not cause trouble. I've seen this happen when people move congregations. They go into a congregation. They see all these different things that are taking place. And instead of in a loving manner asking questions and so forth, they begin to make attack. And they begin then to make trouble or cause trouble within that congregation or within that church where they think that God's word is being done and it's not. And we are to show forth Christ in all these things. Remember back to the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah in Isaiah the 42nd chapter verses 1 through 4. That he would not go and cry out in the streets. A smoking flax he would not quench. A bruised reed he would not break. It wasn't about causing trouble whatsoever. And that is the way that we are to be also. We come with the truth. If they will not listen to the truth, we thank them and we go on our way. But we don't cause trouble. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14 and 15. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That which is given by inspiration through God's Word, those that are natural, those that are not spiritual, will not receive that. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And what he's saying in that is that from the standpoint of the inspired scripture that are given to us, we present God's word, but we understand that there will be those that are thinking carnally and not spiritually. And if they will not hear, we remove ourselves from them. Choose wisely, choose spiritually. Some congregations, and think about this, such as in Corinth. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are not able, for you are still carnal, for there are envy, strife, divisions among you, and you are not. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men instead of spiritual children of God? And there are congregations that are like that. That they will not listen to the truth. They are still carnal. They're thinking about the things of this world in reference to service unto God. And it's not true service unto God, but it is their own will and their own desires and their own programs that they flaunt. We're to be God's disciples. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 through 8. We give thanks to God always for you. And here Paul is talking about a commendation to the Thessalonian congregation. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father. When we look at that, we understand this was a congregation that was working. Was it perfect? No. Were there misunderstandings within this congregation? Very evident when you look over in 2 Thessalonians. But yet they had an allegiance to the Lord, and they were looking to do His will. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. We make sure and present ourselves when we go to another congregation, not as the absolute authority, but neither do we come in roughshod, running over things that we see that are wrong. And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Look for a congregation where God's word is being proclaimed. And that they have a reputation for doing the work for the Lord. Look for a congregation like that. When we think about these things, we understand that a move, as I said earlier, is sometimes necessary. But I will tell you, I think, and this is a downfall of many, that the first consideration, if there is a choice, is that we look for a congregation first. And then we make our decision of where to live after that. So many times it's reversed. Well, I love being way out in the area and so forth. And I love the country. I really do. But there is sometimes too far out to be effective in the work of the Lord. And so look for a congregation in your area. And look at what is being taught. And understand this and do not forget about this. Don't attempt to be that which God has not ordained. He's not ordained roving members. I'll go here one Sunday, over there another Sunday. I'll never join in the work. I'll just go. Christ Jesus did not die to make us bench warmers. He died to make us workmen for Him. To make us workmen for Him. Maybe those here this morning that they've never come to the Lord. Maybe you've had the idea what must I do in order to be saved? Maybe you've asked that question. That's a proper question that must be asked. Matter of fact, it's the most important question that anyone can ask that understands their accountability before God. What must I do to be saved? And all we have to do is look back to the words of the Lord before He ascended into heaven. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And we understand that there's obedience that is required by the Lord. And it takes a change of mind, which results in a change of action. I can't continue as I am and be saved. I must change my mind in order to be obedient. So I change my mind. We call that repentance. And I will make a commitment to the Lord. We call that confession. I will make a commitment to the Lord. So I will name the name of Christ so that all know me. All that know me know that I live now for my Lord. And I will then render that obedience to Him through the faith that is given by the Word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What about us of this congregation? Those that are not moving. I wish that the one that is moving wasn't, but he is. What about us? Are we enjoined in the work or is it somebody else's responsibility? There he is, send him. There she is, send her. Or is it, here am I, send me. I'm ready to do the work, Lord. I'm ready to follow on with the things that the elders set in place. And I'm ready to do my individual work also because I'm a child of God, because I'm concerned about souls of others. Or is it the temple of the Lord, the church, the church, the church? As long as I have my name on the directory, everything is okay. No. We're to be part of a congregation and working with that congregation. Are you doing that? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come. Please stand and sing.